Well, the Closing the Gap report released today showed that only 2 out of 7 targets have been met, something the Prime Minister has described as our national shame. Mr Morrison says the government will overhaul its approach to closing the gap and promises to work in partnership with Indigenous people. He says state and federal governments will work together with the Indigenous communities as the country moves into a new decade. Our political reporter in Canberra, Amanda Kopp, has this report.
It's been 12 years since former Prime Minister Kevin Rudd first proposed a Close the Gap strategy. He aimed to shrink the chasm that had opened up between Indigenous and non-Indigenous Australians in health, mortality, education and incarceration. But today, at the release of the 12th Close the Gap report, Prime Minister Scott Morrison said the government's approach to improving Indigenous well-being has been well-meaning but often ineffective.
Mr Speaker, for 12 years, I have sat in this chamber and listened to Closing the Gap speeches. It's a tale of hope, frustration and disappointment. A tale of good intentions, indeed good faith. But the results are not good enough.
The latest report shows just 2 of the 7 targets are on track, preschool enrolment and high school achievement. Year 12 qualification rates have improved, as has access to early childhood education. However, other areas have stalled or are at risk of failure. Child mortality is twice the rate of non-Indigenous children, and life expectancy is around 8 years lower compared to non-Indigenous people. The Indigenous rate of employment is below 50% compared to 75% for non-Indigenous Australians. Sobering statistics, but Shadow Indigenous Affairs Minister Linda Burney, the first Indigenous woman to be elected to the House of Representatives, says for her it's not just about the numbers.
On a personal level, there is a great deal of pain with it, often not surprise, because you know the people. They're not statistics. You know people that have lost their children to suicide. You know people that have died way too young. You know what some of the social issues are. They are realities for First Nations people.
Given the slow rates of improvement, the Prime Minister says there needs to be a new approach.
Over decades, our top-down, government-knows-best approach has not delivered the improvements we all yearn for.
He has vowed to work in partnership with Indigenous people.
Despite the best intentions, investments in new programs and bipartisan goodwill, Closing the Gap has never really been a partnership with Indigenous people. We perpetuated an ingrained way of thinking passed down over 2 centuries and more. And it was the belief that we knew better than our Indigenous peoples. We don't. We also thought we understood their problems better than they did. We don't. They live them. We must see the gap we wish to close, not from our viewpoint, but from the viewpoint of Indigenous Australians. Before we can hope to close it and make a real difference. And that is the change we are now making.
Scott Morrison says all his ministers will be responsible for Indigenous well-being across all their portfolios. His government aims to work with the state, territory and local governments to get a whole-of-government approach to Indigenous well-being. The Council of Australian Governments, or COAG, has been working with a group of community-controlled peak Indigenous organisations, known as the Coalition of Peaks, to develop a new national agreement for closing the gap. The structure and targets of the new agreement are set to be finalised by April this year. Indigenous organisations say this new approach is an encouraging step. Jamie Lowe, who is the CEO of the National Native Title Council, is optimistic.
I think the partnership's something new. We've seen government work on different levels with Aboriginal communities, but I guess the coordinated approach with all the peaks coming together from both state, territory and national perspective is something that's quite new. And so we're optimistic of what the future's got to bring, but also kind of cautious of, you know, what the past has kind of shown us as well.
CEO of First Nations Media Australia, Catherine Little, says this reform is necessary.
To truly be effective, this cannot be business as usual. It needs a whole of government systemic reform, and in that reform is our constant negotiation with bodies like the Peaks to make sure that we are front and centre when decisions are made and when targets are set.
But what does working closely with Indigenous people actually look like? Catherine Little says for education, it's governments helping create culturally sensitive schools.
Working with governments so that they understand what a culturally safe school might look like, and that is, that's employment, that's getting our mob into those schools and looking differently about how you might work with an Aboriginal family. You know, are our names on the schools? You know, is it girls and boys, or is it Kungas? You know, and we are, or something like that. Are they using our languages? Are they using our expertise? But can our children genuinely walk into a school and feel safe and feel proud of who they are?
CEO of NACHO, the peak body for Indigenous Australians, Pat Turner, says the same goes for the health sector.
So we don't have full access to culturally appropriate health services. Although the Aboriginal community-controlled health sector has the best model of care, we don't exist everywhere, so we need to expand those services. Aboriginal people involved and Torres Strait Islander people involved in decision making at local, regional, state and federal level. Strengthening the Aboriginal community control service sector to deliver these services to Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander communities ourselves, because we do a better job and we get better outcomes. For governments to reform their structures to accommodate the first two, and for Aboriginal people to have access to data and information to enable them to negotiate and plan better.
But Ms. Turner says this kind of approach needs renewed commitment from the government.
How our sector is properly funded on a needs basis, how we meet the health needs of Aboriginal people, but the government needs to invest a lot more money.
The opposition leader, Anthony Albanese, used his Close the Gap address to push for an Indigenous voice to Parliament.
The denial of a constitutionally enshrined voice is a denial of the Australian instinct for a fair go. Despite all the tests it is put through, the instinct for a fair go remains one of the great defining points of our national character. The voice is a modest request that Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples be consulted about issues and policies that directly affect them. That's what it is. It is not a third chamber. It is not deliberative. It merely seeks to put a structure around what we would all regard as Australians as decency, as courtesy, and as respect. That where something is going to have an impact on someone else, we talk to them.
The government has flagged they are looking into a voice, but says work needs to be done to get more of a consensus before one can be put into action. As Australia begins a new decade, there are hopes that the next 10 years will see improvements for Indigenous Australians. All Catherine Little wants to see is her people reach their full potential.
For me, it's about global participation. I want to know that all of our mob have the ability to access information, to be able to engage with services, and to be able to lead full lives just like anybody else.
A simple request from Australia's First Nations people. Amanda Kopp, National Radio News, Canberra.